Before I begin the message tonight, I always like to give credit where credit is due, and so I want to tell you that this sermon series is adapted from a series by CPH for our Lenten series called Places of the Passion. It was written by Dr. David Schmidt. He was a professor of mine at St. Louis Seminary in St. Louis. He was my homiletics professor, and he helped me to see the importance of trusting God's Word and the work of the Holy Spirit to move hearts in the midst of a sermon. And so, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Caroline was a woman who had her place in this world. It was right over there on the right side of the pews, next to the second stained glass window on the side aisle. That was where Carolyn worshiped. And that to Carolyn was her place. Her pastor learned this one day when he was bringing communion to her at her home. You see, Carolyn was no longer in the church as often as before. She was unable to leave her home without great difficulty. And so the pastor brought her communion. One day, when she was with her pastor, she finally raised the issue. It was as if she was embarrassed to ask, maybe afraid of the answer that he would give her. What to him seemed like a simple seat in the church, to Caroline was quite different. It was very important to her. It was her place of worship, her place of prayer, her place among God's people. And so she was afraid of the answer. You see, other people had begun to sit in Caroline's place. People who didn't think she would make it back anytime soon, and in the future, people who wouldn't even know her at all. For Caroline, sitting there in her home, knowing that she would not be coming back to church this year, it was very important for her to know that she still had a place. I'm sure you've all felt, in different ways, Carolyn's fear of losing your place. It happens to all of us. We are certain of our jobs, maybe, today. We know our role in someone else's life, and then suddenly things change, and we find that someone else has come and filled our position, whatever it is. And we've lost our place. New moms and dads know when they leave the workforce, when a child is born, and when kids grow up and become more independent than they once were. At work, maybe you were the one who could work well with numbers in your office, and everyone came to you for advice, and you kind of liked having that power. But then one day in comes a new kid with the newest technology, and others start to take her advice, or maybe they're just doing it themselves now. You've begun to lose your place, and you begin to wonder how long you will be needed. If you've ever felt that fear, then you have an inkling of what was going on in our gospel lesson today with the religious leaders. Luke tells us that it was the feast of the unleavened bread. This was the Passover, and yet it was filled with an unholy fear. Luke says that the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put Jesus to death, for they feared the people. Feared the people? That's a strange thing to say about these men. After all, they are the ones who confidently took their places among the people. They enjoyed the most important seats in the synagogue and the greetings in the marketplaces. They were the experts in the law, able to make a person break under the law's burden in a single word. They wore the long tassels and they gave a tenth of their possessions. They fasted twice a week. They could stand in the center of the synagogue and thank God that they were not like the other sinners. They had the respect of the people until Jesus came. His ministry attracted crowds, great crowds. His words touched hearts. His hands opened eyes, and he was everywhere, it seemed. His very presence brought about a life change they had never known and a gratitude they could only describe as divine. With his work among the people, they had begun to lose their place. And so they gather on this day and they prepare for his death. While everyone around them is preparing for Passover, they are afraid, and in that fear, they prepare to kill Jesus. This is certainly Satan's realm, isn't it? Religion on the outside, but corruption within. Where there is fear, there is likely to be the foe, Satan. Satan enters Judas, and Judas plots to betray Jesus. Not only is there the foe, but there is also the use of force. Luke tells us that when Judas comes to visit the religious leaders, he finds all the forces of the chief priests and the officers there. If you can't secure your position by your good work, you can at least protect your position by force. Not only is there force, but Luke also points to finances. Upon hearing of Judas's offer of betrayal, they were glad and agreed to give him money to betray the Lord. And so we have fear, we have force, we have finances, and we have the foe, a deadly combination to be sure, which brings about death in the life of faith. Back then and now, a relationship in our lives changes with a child, a parent, a spouse, a friend, and we fear. How can we go back in time? But we can't. And in our misguided attempts, we try to force the other person or the relationship to be something that it can't. And when that doesn't work, we are tempted to use finances or whatever power we think we have to change a person's actions or the situation. And ironically, behind it all, our desire to have a place in the relationship and the fear, the force, and the finances, deeper down than any of us will notice, lies the foe at work, stirring up anger, churning fear, telling lies to both sides, trying to create separation between family and friends. These holy good things created by God are torn apart by the work of the foe. Luke, however, points out that in the face of all of this, in the face of the fear, the force, the finances, and the power of the foe, there is one other factor at work here, and that is God, our Father. God, who is preparing a place for his people at Passover. God is still at work in this story, and his work is really so simple that if you don't read it carefully, you may just miss it here in our text. Luke writes, Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go, prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it." And they went, and they found it just like Jesus had said. And they prepared the Passover. Jesus speaks, you see, and a place is prepared. A man with a water jar, a journey through a city, a furnished upper room. A miracle in itself, isn't it? All exactly like Jesus described. God is at work preparing a place for his people. The Passover is the place where God declares that he and he alone is at work to set his people free. God's people have gone far away from him, but Passover draws near. Even when love turns into fear and fear into force and finances turn into an offering for a bribe, still, Passover draws near. Regardless of what his people are doing, God continues to do his work of setting people free, free from our sin and unfaithfulness. It is this work of his, after all, that sets people free. Free from the fear of slavery in Egypt in the Old Testament, free from the force of Pharaoh, free from sin and suffering. God alone, again and again, sets his people free. Through God's action, his people are brought out of Egypt, out of sin, into salvation, new life. And year after year, decade after decade, God's people gather again and again in places like this, and we celebrate his liberating work that reconciles people to God and to one another. Today we gather at the beginning of another Lenten season. Once again, Passover draws near. And this year among us, there are those who have lost their places. Relationships have changed. Children have grown. Jobs have been lost or changed. Our nation seems less secure and more divided than ever. And in the midst of all this change, we might get this sinking feeling, that fear in the pit of your stomach, wondering how we will deal with it all, how we will manage. For those of us who gather, Lent reminds us that one thing does not change. Passover is near. And God is still doing his freeing and forgiving work of love. Once again, God prepares a place for you. Young or old, rich or poor, you have a place at God's table tonight. This Lent, we are reflecting on the places of the Passion of our Lord. These are all places that we've been before in previous years. You remember, it's a simple story. The upper room, the Garden of Gethsemane, the halls of Pontius Pilate, the hill of Golgotha, these are the places we will revisit again this year, and we will remember as we meditate on our Lord's Passion. And yet, we will also remember that when Jesus enters a place, he never leaves it as he finds it. The most troubling places in this story and the most troubling places in our lives become the most amazing places of God's grace when Jesus visits them. In the midst of this story, there is a wonderful, powerful, irresistible love. No matter where we are in our own lives, God is still coming and claiming us as his children, and he will never stop. God is still preparing a place for each one of us in his kingdom. In a way, God is very much like a parent who realizes that his children have left him, strayed maybe far from home, even though they may still be in the same house every day. And while a mom can't control the fact that her son now gets a ride home from his friends after practice, and while the dad can't control the fact that his daughter puts on her headphones and listens to music rather than the voice of her father, while parents can't control the fact that their children sometimes shut themselves up in their rooms rather than sit with their family, they can control how many places they set at the table. And God, we know that as long as God is our Heavenly Father, as long as this is his household, there will always be a place at his table for his children, all his children, those who confess and repent, always. And that table is always right over here. A place for each one of you. God comes to us, and he brings with him a feast that always has a place set for you. His suffering, his death, his resurrection had a purpose. There is no reason for us to fear anymore, for your sins have been forgiven. Your life is no longer your own. Today there is a place at God's table for you and for the person sitting next to you and the person across the room from you. A simple meal, a simple story, and a simple remembrance. It's the journey of Lent. Here we are once again together, just as God ordained it. What a wonderful work God has done and is doing for his people, which we remember and celebrate every Lent and Easter. You know, if Caroline were still alive, that pastor could answer her question. No, she no longer has that place in the pew. The right-hand side of the congregation, next to the second stained glass window on the side aisle. That place now has other people sitting there. People who love Jesus like she loves Jesus. But she does have a place at God's table. Jesus has prepared it all for her. And so when Caroline couldn't come to church anymore and she felt like she was losing her place, well, Jesus decided to bring church to her. And so there they sat, Caroline and her pastor and her Lord, at the table. It's the best seat in the house as a pastor to have that privilege. And there our Lord assured her that nothing in this world, that nothing in all creation will be able to separate her from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There will always be a place for her. There's no need to fear, not on this day. When Jesus is the Lord of the table and the center of our lives, there will always be a place for you. And now may the peace, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.